The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Danny Blanchfour, former Bank of England policymaker, professor of economics at Dartmouth, and follower of all things central bankish. Good morning, Danny.
Hi. Nice to speak to you folks again. Interesting day.
Well,
nobody did anything, of course.
Nobody did anything. Well, because they're not quite sure what to do or what not to do. And sometimes just staying on your course is the best one. But of course, with Janet Yellen, Danny, and I was at Charles Plosser, president of the Philly Fed, his speech at the Council of Foreign Relations this morning, who's arguing for more explicit guideposts, reaction functions, et cetera. What from Janet Yellen, she's out of the chute now a couple of months as Fed chair. She's given some big talks, including this week. What is your sense of where she is and where she wants to take Fed policy?
Well, I think in a sense it's a contrast to Plosser, and in some sense his speech is a response to what she said. This is something that I've advocated for some time. You watch the data. If the data was simple, then you could simply set up a set of guideposts. The Fed tried that in the summer with the unemployment rate, and things are rather more complicated than that. So in her testimony yesterday, you heard representatives trying to get her to explain what a considerable amount of time was. So I think the answer is that Plosser, in a way, is in wishful thinking land, because this is very complicated. We have half a dozen measures of the labor market that are all kind of moving somewhat in different directions, and this is rather complicated. So I think Janet talked about, we will see, we'll watch the data. If things follow the way that the Fed is forecasting, then this is what we will do. But it really is, if you listen to what she said in her speeches and yesterday, this is a move away from rules, and Plosser is trying to pull back on that. But I think the reason she wants to do that is the world's a complicated place.
Yeah, I mean, Plosser talking about rules versus discretion, and he was saying it's still a debate that you can't be simultaneously discretionary and make a commitment in any way. So, I mean, how do they solve this? Do they come to some kind of consensus at the next meeting?
I don't think they come to a consensus at the next meeting. They wait and watch. I mean, think about the logic of trying to understand what full employment means. I mean, you can pick a number, you can try a model, but this is actually pretty hard. We pick a number. Is it 6%? Is it 5%? Is it 4%? What is it? In some sense, we won't know it until we actually get there. Adam Posen and I, and in fact, you probably, when you listen to Janet Yellen's sort of saying the same thing. The simple thing is probably to watch what happens to wage growth. There hasn't been any for a while. But I think what you're going to see is a growing consensus thinking about what's happening to the U.S. economy. But they're not going to make a different decision, fundamentally different decision, over the next couple of meetings. We will see by the fall and later on, when the program for QE kind of the tapering starts to get to zero, then they will think. But Janet made it absolutely clear they're not thinking about selling the stock of assets. They're not thinking for a long time to come about raising rates. So this is not something that's going to happen at the next meeting.
Danny, what's going on in Britain? Because we seem to have surging house prices. The pound sterling versus the dollar is almost at 170. And yet you have the Bank of England really sort of holding out. They may be the first to move later in the year, but they're not doing anything. Inflation is not a problem there.
Well, yes, it's very complicated. I mean, what we have here is inflation in the UK well below the target. But the government has instituted a policy basically to try and raise house prices. And what you have, it sort of indicates some of the things we've thought about, the worries of not using fiscal policy, concentrating on monetary policy. And basically what's happened is that house prices in London are going through the roof and not anywhere else. And the problem with monetary policy is it's not very easy to have a regional aspect of monetary policy. It's one size fits all. So on the one hand, you have this booming London. And on the other hand, you have high underutilization rates. Real wages in the UK have fallen 10%. Since 2008, and standards of living have fallen. So you have this house price bubble, which is kind of clear that it is. And Sir John Cunliffe, the new deputy governor, made a speech on that this week. So the puzzle that you have is the housing market's booming, but wages are low, unemployment and underutilization rates are very low, and you face this big dilemma. And also on this committee, just like in the US, you actually have big personnel changes coming very soon. And obviously forward guidance when three members of the committee are going to change is kind of hard. So this is a big puzzle. And in some sense, it's the same position we were in 2006 or 2007. House price to earnings ratios in the UK are now at levels that they were prior to the crash. So this really doesn't look very good, but it's a government pumped up house price boom trying to buy votes for the next election. And so we're going to see, is the Bank of England going to have the courage to step in and try and pull back the house price boom without raising rates? And there's it.
And how would they go about that, Danny? Because that would seem to be like the way you untie the Gordian knot.
Exactly, Kathleen. Well, we have a thing called a Financial Policy Committee, which has certainly to this point looked like a toothless tiger. And the question is, can they go in and basically scrap the Help to Buy scheme that the Chancellor set up, lots of people like me call it Help to Buy Votes scheme? Can they go in and change conditions of loans? Can they tighten that up and try and pull back on the house price boom without raising rates? And that really, as you say, is the dilemma. Somehow or other, they're going to have to do that. Because if they don't, then the Monetary Policy Committee probably will have to raise rates. And that's why the pound's pretty strong. People think that rate rises will come before they come in the US, but that would be disastrous. I mean, we've got very high levels of unemployment, as I say.
The unemployment rate is what, about 6.9% right now in the UK?
Yes. But we also have an index that I publish every quarter called the underutilization rate. And unlike in the US, where the U6 measure has just tracked the unemployment rate, this underutilization measure since 2008 adds about 2 percentage points. So basically, there's very little upward wage pressure at all. Real wages continue to be negative. We just had a paper out this week showing big collapse in self-employment earnings in the UK. So obviously, a rate rise would impact dividends. It would impact all these people who have variable rate mortgages. So you're right. This is a really big dilemma. What do you do when you have a government-induced house price bubble?
Well, we were at the Loeb Investment Conference during the week, the Sohn Investment Conference, I should say, during the week. The Loeb finalists have just come out and I've been tracking those a little bit.
Another four-letter word, yes.
Investment Conference. And at that conference, we had Paul Tudor Jones saying that he believes the Bank of England is going to move at the end of the year, around about December or so. Would that give enough time, Danny, for, you know, things to settle a little bit such that it would be okay for rates to rise?
Well, I don't think it would be okay for rates to rise, excluding the issue of the housing market, which clearly is a big worry. But if you were to start raising rates, that would be absolutely disastrous in 2014, because unlike in the US, where people are on fixed rate mortgages, people in the UK are on variable rate mortgages. And so once you start to raise rates, you'll find a big increase in default. People's real standards of living will continue to fall. As I said, they're down 10% in real terms since 2008, not like that in the US. So if you start to raise rates, the UK economy is unbelievably sensitive to an interest rate rise. So there have been people.
But what's the danger of a vicious circle, though, Danny, and the same thing happening again, that house prices surge, suddenly people are depending on their equity in order to spend, and suddenly we have this, you know, similar situation to 2006 in the United States?
Well, I think that's the great worry. But I would say in this case, it's quite clear where it came from. It came from the government. The government took a policy that it was going to generate a house price bubble to try and buy votes in an election in a year's time. So now they're having to pay the consequences that eventually it may well be that a rate rise would have to come prior to the election. So there's a big political aspect to this as well. The last thing the UK government would want would be for rates to rise in a few months before the election. There's an election approximately a year today.
Well, it's a tough decision for central banks, because there's a debate too, as you know, as Charles Plotzer mentioned this morning. The research suggests that when you look at the U.S. participation rate, which has actually fallen, is a concern that 70 to 75% shows that it's people who've gone on. Who've retired or gone on disability. And those people, once they leave the labor force, don't come back. And the question is, how can monetary policy change that? Is there any similarity in the UK? Because this, you know, whether you want them to hold their rates or not, people want more jobs for the population. But a lot of people are saying, you know what, you're not going to get it with monetary policy.
Well, I don't agree with that. Adam Posen and I have a paper out last week that's got lots of attention, which actually says exactly the opposite to what Plotter says. It says that the non-participants who've left the labor force are pushing down on wages. And when the economy recovers, they're actually going to come back. And it's quite wrong to say that.
In both countries, Danny, or US?
Well,
what should you focus on?
No, we have in the UK, we've not seen much of a change in the participation rate. What's happened in the UK is this thing I was talking about, which has to do with underutilization rates. People would like more hours. The change in the participation rate is almost a unique US phenomenon. But it looks like that's completely wrong. It's driven in many senses, actually, by young people who've gone off to education, their participation rates have fallen. But when the economy picks up, they'll come back. So I don't take the view that this is structurally kind of stuck. I think it's going to be cyclical and they'll come back.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.